Picture a drawing board the size of a country. Actually, picture three countries. That is roughly the scale of what is happening with the Global Combat Air Program right now. On July 3rd, the United Kingdom, Italy, and Japan announced a contract worth £4.6 billion to a company called Edgewing. The headline reads like a routine defense procurement update. The reality is something more significant for anyone who cares about where aviation is going. This is the moment when a sixth-generation fighter program stops being a concept and starts becoming an airplane. I'm Tower on Radio Hangar. This is ATIS. Here's what you need to know before we get into it. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. The Global Combat Air Program, or GCAP, is a joint effort between three nations to develop what the partners are positioning as the world's first sixth-generation combat aircraft. The United Kingdom and Italy are building this to replace the Eurofighter Typhoon. Japan is building it to replace the Mitsubishi F2. The target service entry date sits somewhere around 2035. That is the goal on the calendar. Whether it holds is another matter, and we will get to that. Before you move on thinking this is a defense story that has nothing to do with you, stay with me, because this contract is not just about building another fighter jet. It is about where aviation technology goes in the second half of this century and the ripple effects from programs like this one eventually reach every corner of the industry. Let's back up a few years to understand how we got here. The United Kingdom launched a concept called Tempest in 2018. It was a public declaration of intent at the Farnborough Air Show. Think of it as Britain saying plainly, "We intend to remain in the business of building world-class combat aircraft, and we will not wait to be invited into someone else's program." The concept aircraft revealed that year was striking, a blended body airframe, clean lines, and a systems integration philosophy that looked nothing like the generation of fighters that preceded it. Italy joined as a development partner early in that process. And then in December of 2022, Japan came to the table. That announcement merged Japan's own indigenous fighter development effort with the UK-Italy Tempest work, creating the Global Combat Air Program under its current name. The Tempest branding largely gave way to GCAP from that point forward. Japan's involvement deserves a moment of attention, because it is not just an engineering footnote. Japan's post-war constitution has traditionally constrained its military spending and its posture on defense development. For decades, Japan operated under a self-imposed ceiling of roughly 1% of GDP for defense expenditure. That ceiling has been rising in recent years, and the decision to co-develop a frontline sixth-generation fighter with two NATO partners represents a meaningful shift in Japanese defense policy. This is not a minor procurement arrangement. It is a statement about where Japan intends to position itself strategically in the coming decades. Now, what exactly is Edgewing, the company that just received £4.6 billion? Edgewing is a purpose-built joint venture, a trinational industrial entity created specifically to manage the design and development of GCAP. The major industrial partners are BAE Systems from the United Kingdom, Leonardo from Italy, and Mitsubishi Heavy Industries from Japan. Each of those companies brings deep aerospace engineering capability. BAE Systems has been at the center of British military aviation for generations, from the Hawk Trainer to the Tornado to the Typhoon. Leonardo has comparable pedigree in Italian aerospace, with significant work on avionics and airframe systems. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries has decades of experience building and modifying frontline combat aircraft under license from American manufacturers, and has been developing its own aerospace capabilities steadily. Getting three major aerospace companies from three countries to operate within a single joint venture structure is not simple. Getting their respective governments to agree on work share, intellectual property rights, export controls, and technology access frameworks is considerably harder. The fact that Edgewing exists as a functioning entity and has now received a contract of this magnitude is itself a signal that enough of those foundational agreements are in place to proceed. The contract runs through the end of 2027. That is important context. This is not a production contract. It is the next phase of design work. Think of it as the transition from sketching to engineering. The conceptual architecture gives way to specific systems, specific materials, and specific integration decisions. By 2027, the program expects to have a finalized design that can move into prototype development and, eventually, toward a demonstrator aircraft. The first flight is not in this contract's scope. The work that makes the first flight possible is, now here is the question. Pilots always want answered. What does sixth generation actually mean? The term gets used frequently and explained rarely. The fifth generation designation applied to aircraft like the F-35 and the F-22 Raptor was defined primarily by stealth characteristics and sensor fusion. The core idea was that the airplane would be low observable to radar and that its systems would integrate data from multiple sensors to give the pilot a coherent picture of the battle space without requiring them to manage six different displays simultaneously. Sixth generation takes that further in several directions at once. The first is artificial intelligence, or AI, integration at the systems level, not the marketing kind, the engineering kind, where AI assists with threat identification, electronic warfare response, communications management, and mission planning in ways that reduce cognitive load on the crew and compress decision timelines in an environment where decisions often have to happen faster than human reaction time allows. The second is unmanned teaming. A sixth-generation fighter is being designed from the outset to function as a quarterback, controlling a network of loyal wingman drones that extend its reach, absorb risk in higher threat environments, and multiply its combat effectiveness. This is not an afterthought capability added later. It is baked into the design requirements from day one.
The third is electronic warfare and sensor capability at a level that current-generation aircraft cannot match. The electromagnetic spectrum is a contested domain in modern conflict, and sixth-generation aircraft are being designed to dominate it rather than simply operate within it. Beyond those three pillars, there are edge capabilities still being defined: directed energy weapons, hypersonic weapons integration, advanced materials that go beyond current stealth coatings and reduce both radar signature and thermal signature simultaneously. How many of those features make it into the final GCAP design is genuinely still an open question. Here is the global context that gives this contract weight. The United States is developing its own sixth-generation program under the Next Generation Air Dominance Program, or NGAD. That effort is considerably more classified than GCAP. China has publicly demonstrated what appear to be at least two sixth-generation fighter concepts in recent years, based on imagery and observed test activity. The European continent has the Future Combat Air System, or FCAS, pairing France with Germany and Spain. That program has had its own well-documented management difficulties around work share and technology access. GCAP competes in that field, and the £4.6 billion Edgewing contract is a clear statement that the UK-Italy-Japan partnership intends to be a credible player in the sixth-generation development race, not an observer, for the listener who primarily flies light general aviation aircraft. Here is why this matters beyond the headlines. The materials and manufacturing technologies developed for advanced military aircraft have a consistent historical record of migrating into civilian aviation composites. Advanced avionics architectures, sensor technologies, manufacturing tolerances that push what is achievable. The carbon fiber airframes common in modern light sport aircraft have roots in military aerospace programs from decades earlier. The glass cockpit revolution that transformed general aviation in the 2000s drew heavily on military avionics development. What comes out of GCAP's work will eventually show up somewhere downstream in civilian aviation. That is not speculation. It is the pattern of how aviation technology moves through the industry. Airspace is another dimension to watch. As unmanned teaming becomes operationally real, the questions around how military and civilian airspace coexist get more complex. We are already navigating those questions with commercial and recreational drone integration at lower altitudes. Sixth-generation fighter programs, with their loyal wingman architectures, operating at altitudes and speeds that no current drone approaches. Add another layer to the long-term airspace management conversation that will take years to fully work through. And at the most basic level, this is the history of aviation happening in real time. The aircraft being designed right now by Edgewing's engineers will shape air power for the latter half of this century. Programs of this generation do not come along often. One thing that I think deserves more credit than it typically receives is the institutional durability GCAP has shown just to reach this point. Defense programs at this scale get canceled. They get delayed by budget cycles, redirected by changes in government, derailed by industrial disputes over work share, or overtaken by technical setbacks that make continuation politically difficult. GCAP has had to maintain momentum across three separate national governments, each operating in their own domestic political environment through multiple elections and changes in leadership. The £4.6 billion Edgewing contract is not only an engineering milestone, it is an institutional vote of confidence from three governments that this program is real, viable, and worth the continued investment required to bring it to flight. That kind of programmatic durability is harder to achieve than most people outside the defense acquisition world appreciate. A lot of sixth-generation ideas never get past the rendering stage. This one just got funded through detailed design.
The Aviation has covered this story, and the reporting is worth reading in full for the technical details on what the design phase covers. The road from today's contract to a GCAP prototype in the air is long. The road from prototype to operational aircraft is longer still. 2035 is the target, and anyone who has followed major defense programs knows that targets are aspirations until proven otherwise. But the money is real, the partners are committed, and Edgewing now has the mandate and the funding to do the engineering that makes everything else possible. That's GCAP. More at RadioHanger.com. I'm Tower. Keep the shiny side up.